our series that we've been in during this midsummer time, the Hit the Road series. And over these past several weeks, we've been looking at the road trip that we are on as followers of Jesus. And today, our theme is headed home. Headed home. And you know, whether we're taking a road trip just on a Sunday afternoon, or it's a much more extended, long-time road trip, it's always good to be at that point where we're headed back home. And once again this morning, we've included some teaching notes in the bulletin, and I would invite you to follow along as we are open to God's Word for us today. And this morning, rather than reading the scripture at the beginning and then followed by the message, I'm going to incorporate this story, this wonderful, beloved story that Jesus told into the message. You know, my dad was the youngest of seven children. And when he came into the world, there were already five sisters, a brother, a brother-in-law, and two nieces living in the house. And his only brother, Buddy, was 16 years older when my dad was born. When my dad was seven, Buddy left home for the war in Germany. And the morning he left, my dad still remembers that he was standing on his chair and his mother was combing his hair as he was getting ready for school. Buddy, in his army uniform, brushed my dad's hair and said, "Now, while I'm gone, you be good to your mother." And then he went out the back door, not to be seen for a long time. It seemed to the seven-year-old that his big brother was away from home forever. And Dad remembers how in the evenings he would sit up close to his dad on the sofa and they would listen to the radio for some news from the war. And he remembers that at mealtimes and bedtimes, there was always a prayer that God would bring Buddy home safely. And every day, when the mail arrived, everyone was asking, "Is there any news from Buddy today?" Now, of course, the tearful goodbye and the constant prayers and the daily longing for Buddy to come home, all of these things that have been experienced by thousands of households who have seen a loved one go off to serve, all of these things pale in comparison to the day that Buddy did come home. Then my dad was 8, almost 9, and he remembers being out in the yard playing when he saw his big brother walking toward the house. And he ran up to meet Buddy, who looked much taller and stronger standing there in his uniform. Soon, the whole family was at the house, and neighbors were dropping by, and people from the church were coming over. His brother, who had been away for such a long, long time, his brother who had experienced things so horrendous that he couldn't even talk about them for many years. His brother was home. And what a celebration was had in the Keller household. Now maybe you remember some scenes like that. A joyful reunion when a loved one has been away, far away from home. Or maybe you've been in that distant place, far from home, and you were the one who experienced the overwhelming love of those who welcomed you back. Well, today, as we conclude this road trip series, we're looking at one of the best known and best loved stories in all the Bible about heading home. This story is commonly called the parable of the prodigal son,
main character is really the father. Jesus begins the story,
a certain man had two sons. So some prefer to call this the parable of the waiting father, or the parable of the loving father, or we might even call it the parable of the prodigal father.
For the word prodigal, as it says in the notes, is a word that has two meanings.
One of them, the most common one, means reckless and wasteful. This younger son in this story doesn't leave home to serve his country. He doesn't travel to a far-off land as a missionary or even on company business.
His reason for leaving home is purely selfish. He just wants to have fun. He's reckless. He's wasteful. He blows a third of the family estate. But then there's this second meaning of prodigal. Less common, but more positive, that means extravagant and generous. So one might say, for example, that someone has offered prodigal hospitality to them, which means that it was extravagant and generous and well beyond what they would have expected. And the father in this story was prodigal in the second way. He offered extravagant forgiveness to the wayward son, and he celebrates his son's return home in a way that goes far beyond what anyone could have imagined. So Jesus wants us to know that God is that kind of prodigal father to us. And this morning, I want to look at a few of the ways that God has extended prodigal, extravagant, generous beyond expectation, forgiveness, and love to you and to me. In the first place, God has loved each of us enough to give us freedom. God gives us freedom to fail, or we might turn that over and say, God gives us freedom to succeed as well. It's amazing how much freedom the father in this parable gives his child. The story begins at Luke 15, verse 11. Jesus said, a certain man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, Father, give me my share of the inheritance. Then the father divided his estate between them. Soon afterward, the younger son gathered everything together and took a trip to a land far away. And there he wasted his wealth through extravagant living. Now surely the father knew his son well enough and understood the temptations well enough to realize that there was a pretty good chance that this boy was going to get into big time trouble. And the father could have ordered the son to stay home. In fact, in the ancient Near East, fathers had that sort of power, and this father could have used it. But the father loved his son enough to trust him, to let him go, either to succeed or to fail. God is like that with you and me. We each have been given a precious inheritance. We have amazing minds, and we can use them, or we can waste them. We have remarkable bodies, and we can keep them healthy and fit, or we can abuse them. We have the gift of life itself, and we can use our time wisely and productively, or we can waste it. Most of us have received the gift of faith, perhaps from mom or dad or some other special person. And we can live that faith from day to day, or we can choose not to. God God loves us and trusts us enough to give us freedom. Freedom to do well, or freedom to fail.
Well, the prodigal abuses his freedom and squanders his inheritance. And as I read this story, I would like to think that I'm nothing like him. I mean, I'm nothing like him. I'm the older brother, faithful and true, never wandering off, always at home in my father's house. Or sometimes, unlike the father, the pastor welcoming sinners to come home to Jesus. And yet, the more I allow this word to sink in, the more I realize how very much like the younger son I am. I'm reminded of the story of a father who sat down with his toddler in front of the mirror. And at first, because she was so young, the little girl didn't recognize herself. But then she began to notice that that image smiling back at her moved at the same time that she moved. And suddenly she pointed at herself in the mirror and said, "That's me! And if I take a good honest look at me, at my life, the ways I've been prone to wander from my home, I need to point at this prodigal son and say, that's me. It's me." The devotional writer Henry Nouwen reminds me of this in his book on this parable. Nouwen says, "I am the prodigal son. Every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found." Just think about that for a moment. You know, there's only one place that we can find unconditional love, and it's in relationship to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, as country singer Waylon Jennings sang a few decades back, we all go looking for love in all the wrong places. Where have you been looking for love lately? Where have you turned to satisfy the longing that God put into your heart? The longing that only God can fill. Oh, God gives us countless gifts and immense freedom. But whenever we give our first love to the gift, no matter how wonderful that gift is, and forget the giver, we are on a road trip that will take us to a far distant place from the place God calls us to be. I am the prodigal son. Every time I search for unconditional love where it cannot be found. And there's a second thing Jesus teaches us about God in this parable. And that is that God waits patiently for us. God waits patiently for us to come to our senses. This story reminds us that there are consequences in life. There's a cause for the choices we make. And sometimes we may wish God would be like an overindulgent parent who follows after us and cleans after all of our messes. Maybe you've heard about the mom who was trying to get her son to clean up his room. He was always leaving socks, shoes, papers, food, stuff all over his bedroom floor, and it was a mess. Anybody ever deal with that? She talked to him about it. She lectured him about it. She pleaded with him, but it didn't make a difference. His room was still a mess. So finally, she decided that she would clean his room herself, but she would charge him a quarter for each item she picked up off the floor. By the end of the week, she had picked up at least 20 items, and so she gave her son a bill for $5. And he reached into his wallet, pulled out a $5 bill, handed it to his mother, and said, "Keep up the good work, Mom. You're doing a great job." Sorry. God gives us freedom. God is not overindulgent. And you remember the terrible consequences for the younger son in this story. Verse 14, it says, "When he had used up his resources, a severe food shortage arose in that country, and he began to be in need. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from what the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything." The young man left home full of pride, with a lot of money, determined to live his own life away from his father, away from the community. But now he is a very, very poor man. He's starving. He's sent to feed pigs, which suggests that he is in a non-Jewish country, far, far from home. And he's by himself. No one, not even all those people he partied with when he was squandering his wealth, no one will give him anything. You know, God often lets us experience the consequences of our actions, so that we might see our need to come home. And that's what happened to the prodigal. When he hit the lowest point in his life, he realized. He was convicted of his need to come home. Verse 17 says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hands have more than enough food, but I'm starving to death? I will get up and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired hands.' So he got up and went to his father." And then we discover one more thing that this parable teaches us about God. And that is that when the son comes to his senses and turns again for home, the father welcomes him unconditionally. God welcomes us home unconditionally. Consider all that the prodigal father did when his son was returning home. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion. His father ran to him, hugged him, and kissed him. And the son starts to confess, but the father stops him in his tracks. He says, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son, but the Father." But the Father. But the Father said to one of his servants, "Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals.
his son with honor. The ring with the family crest on it, claiming his place in the father's house. And slaves walk barefoot, but sons wear shoes. And then he says, fetch the fatted calf and slaughter it. We must celebrate with feasting because the son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found. You know, in the ancient world, there was no refrigeration, no way to preserve meat. And so living animals were killed according to the size of the meal. If you had just one guest that you were planning for, you might kill a chicken. If you had two guests, maybe you would kill a duck. But to kill a fatted calf, this father wanted to feed the whole village because he wanted everyone to celebrate the homecoming of his son. And then there was even more significance to killing the fatted calf. The blood of the animal was cast onto the ground in front of the doorway. And when the guests stepped over it, it was a sign that the past was behind. And a new relationship had started. The fatted calf was a sign of the Father's complete and total forgiveness of the Son. A symbol of a new beginning for the Father, the younger son, and also for the elder brother, and the servants, and the townspeople. In fact, it was a sign of a new beginning for everyone, except the fatted calf. Okay. And they began to celebrate. Now let me ask you, did this boy really deserve that kind of welcome home? When my uncle came back from the war, that was something to celebrate. When missionaries returned home after traveling to a distant land to share the gospel, that's something to celebrate. When a husband or wife or a mom or dad comes home after an extended business trip, that's something to celebrate. But this boy, did he really deserve such a lavish party? There will be some, like the older brother, who would say a resounding no. He squandered his inheritance, he made a mess of his life, and the family's life, it doesn't seem fair. But Jesus says that God loves the unrighteous. And it's a good thing, because all of us are among the unrighteous. All of us are prone to wander. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us will ever be good enough to completely please God. We are not saved by our good works. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. All the good works that we do, all the ways that we serve along this road trip we're on with Jesus, all of them are not to earn God's favor, but they're an expression of our love for the one who has first loved us. What about you? Is there a need in your life to return home? Is there some way in which you have squandered your inheritance and perhaps you found yourself in a distant land. Beloved, it's time. It's time to come home. Come home to the prodigal father who loves you enough to give you the freedom to make mistakes. Home to the father who loves you enough to wait patiently for you to come to your senses. Come home to the father who, when you return, welcomes you back with no strings attached and gives you a new beginning. You know, that celebration for my uncle when he came home from the war must have really been something. As wonderful as the celebrations that many of you have had when someone you love comes home. But no celebration on this earth can compare to the party that God throws in heaven when one sinner comes home. One sinner, like you, like me, when we come to our senses, when we come home,